You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now, on today's show, we will be talking about Michael Conforto, and this files into multiple phases of our offseason content. For one, there's been a report about Michael Conforto and the qualifying offer. So I'm going to discuss that in the first segment of today's show. In the second segment, we'll go into a phase of our offseason coverage, the top 10 most disappointing aspects of the 2021 season, and I'm going to talk about his slow start. In the last segment, I want to talk about what the Mets should do with Conforto moving forward. When it comes to the free agent class this year for outfielders, it is not stacked at all. So I'll go through that and why Conforto could still make a lot of sense for the Mets this offseason. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. Now, Mike Mayer of Mets Marais, one of the best follows on Twitter, one of the best reporters covering the Mets. He has great sources and great information. He tweeted today that Michael Conforto will, in fact, receive the qualifying offer from the Mets, but that he will decline it. Now, this is a pretty fascinating revelation. I mean, we've talked about Conforto a ton at the end of the season and leading into the offseason here. It was clear that Conforto was a candidate, obviously, but at one point, him getting a qualifying offer was an obvious decision. The way he played for a majority of the 2021 season left some doubt as to whether the Mets would want to extend that qualifying offer because if he accepts it, you can't address his position in right field with anyone else. Now, personally, I don't think that there'd be anything wrong with Conforto coming back on the qualifying offer. In fact, I think the 2022 Mets would be better off for that. But this latest part of the reporting says he'll decline, which is partially the reason the Mets are going to extend this because now they get a comp pick. And basically how this works, it's tied to the size of the contract, right? So Michael Conforto, he's going to get this qualifying offer a couple days after the World Series, and he'll have 10 days to gauge his market and see if he wants to accept that qualifying offer or decline it and become a free agent. Now, if he becomes a free agent, he's going to have some draft pick compensation attached to him for any team that tries to sign him. So if he is signed to a contract worth more than $50 million, the Mets will get a pick in the Comp A round after the first round of the draft, the competitive balance round. Now, if he signs a contract for less than $50 million, they'll get a comp pick in the balance round B. Now, that's the simplest way to break down these rules. There's a lot more that goes into it, luxury tax teams and the picks they can give up. And there's a bunch of different layers to this that we can discuss if and when Conforto declines the qualifying offer and is signed elsewhere. But the bottom line is you are going to get something for Michael Conforto if he signs with another team. Also, what this could mean for the Mets is now you are sitting pretty when it comes to Michael Conforto this offseason because, you know, there is always that opportunity that chance that he will accept the qualifying offer. And again, not the worst thing, but if this reporting is true and Scott Boras is dead set on taking Conforto into free agency, he'll test his market and he's either going to have a good market, right, where he's going to make over $50 million. You're going to get that good comp pick, or there is still that chance that Conforto is going to test the waters and there's not going to be a ton out there for him. And he might go back to his agent and say, look, I want to be with the Mets. If it's a one-year deal, that's where I want to be. And who knows, maybe the Mets get Conforto on something less than the qualifying offer. Or there's also the chance that the Mets look at Michael Conforto and they say, you know what? You've been a leader on our club. You've been a good citizen, a good part of everything we've had going on here since 2015. We still love you, Michael. Here's a contract that could be fairly reasonable. Maybe it's a 5-year deal. worth, I don't know, $80 million, and you're talking about 16 a year. Who knows? And who knows if Conforto would even be willing to accept that. But there's nothing, there's no downside here, right? There's no downside to extending Conforto a qualifying offer. And in my opinion, there's no downside if he accepts it. But really, this is just a bunch of win-win-win scenarios for the Mets. He accepts it. You got a player on a one-year deal who can certainly outperform that contract. He declines it and signs elsewhere. You get a comp pick. Or he declines it, comes back to you on an even better offer than the qualifying offer. So all of that is to say, I think the Mets are in a really good position here with Michael Conforto. It's maybe the one positive benefit to a down year for Conforto is that he is maybe going to fall back to into their laps at a reasonable deal. If you look at Conforto throughout his career, since 2015, his WRC plus of 124 is ranked 19th among all outfielders in baseball. Brandon Nimmo at 134 is actually ranked 11th. His WAR, according to Fangraphs, at 16.9 is ranked 17th among all outfielders in baseball since 2015. His 132 home runs are 25th. His 396 RBIs are 21st. Overall, if you look at all these different stats, Michael Conforto is a consensus top 20 outfielder in baseball. With that said, that could mean he has more of a market than you would suggest, or he could be a player that's a depressed asset that is worthy of signing because there's that big boom potential. And if you look at what he did this year, and that's what we're going to talk about in just a minute here, the numbers weren't great. They really weren't. Look at his career line. He's a 255 hitter this year, hit 233. On base percentage for his career, 356 this year, a little dip at 344. The slugging percentage, huge dip. Career 468 slugging percentage this year, 385. But when it comes to plate discipline, when it comes to on base, he was close to what he was. He just didn't have the power. So the question is, will the power return next year? And will that be with the Mets or another team? In just a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that disappointing slow start to the season for Conforto and what he did down the stretch to make his numbers at least a little bit more passable as he enters free agency. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There really is something for everyone, whether it's the coconut bar, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, German chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, or my personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all these flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each. You can see which ones you like best. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calories, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So for our top 10 most disappointing aspects of the 2021 season, Michael Conforto does in fact make this list at number 7, just ahead of Dominic Smith, who we talked about last week when it came to his down year. Conforto had a terrible start to this season. There's no sugarcoating it. In April, he had a 649 OPS. He played 15 games in May where he wasn't great, did not hit for power, but started to look like himself. Was batting 255 that month with 386 on base percentage. Then he has a hamstring injury that puts him out for over 5 weeks. Comes back, is dreadful in June, a 466 OPS. And that was in not a full slate of games, just a handful. Then he goes in July and just again, awful numbers, 198 average, 322 on base, 324 slugging. Just wasn't himself at all. You go to August 1st, from August 1st. Through the remainder of the season, Michael Conforto hit 272, 372 on base, 457 slugging, had a WRC plus of 128. I've mentioned WRC plus already on this episode. What WRC plus means is it basically is a stat that measures hitters based on a league average of 100. Easiest way to describe that. So Michael Conforto with the 128 WRC plus over those final 56 games, I believe it was, that is a very solid player. That is basically the player he's been throughout his career. His career WRC plus, which of course was dragged down this year, is at 124. So this is what he has been, a guy that gets on base at a good clip, hits for some pop. That is what you expect out of Michael Conforto. His walk rate down the stretch of 12.1 was in line with what he's done recently. You look at the strikeout rate at 19.5, certainly not bad at all compared to other bad strikeout numbers he's had in the past. He had 8 home runs and 30 RBIs. If you extrapolate that last 56-game sample over, say, 150-game season, right, if you played 150 games, you'd be talking about a player that was hitting around 20 home runs, 80 RBIs, Conforto season, you know, and I think that is the interesting thing about Michael. He is a prisoner of his own previously high set expectations. 2015, he comes up, and I'm as big of a victim of this as anyone else, where I was blown away by his rookie season. Comes in, team that goes to the World Series, and he was the only possible future all-star that was homegrown. Only one on that team, unless you consider Travis d'Arnaud at that time someone who could have been an all-star in the future. It was basically Conforto and then all the pitchers. So I think that alone raised his profile. And then there was this comparison to David Wright. Here was a kid that jumped right into the majors, was a great guy, you know, was able to produce right away. And everyone thought that soon we'd be seeing 2005, 2006 David Wright in Michael Conforto, a guy that would hit over 300, that had the chance to win a gold glove in the outfield potentially if everything broke right. A guy that was going to hit for the pop and hit 30, 40 home runs in some of his best seasons. But he hasn't been that. And because he hasn't been that, again, prisoner of those expectations, he is not valued and he becomes an underappreciated player as he's been throughout his entire Mets tenure, where people say, oh, he never comes through. Oh, he's a terrible hitter because his average is 250. Well, in today's game, it's about on base percentage. And this is a guy that's going to get on base at least a 350 clip, which means he's a functional offensive player. And I think he's a good defensive right fielder. Is he a perennial all-star? No, I don't think he is. But will he be a 2-time all-star, 3-time all-star in his career? Probably. He already has one. It would not surprise me if Conforto has another couple years like that. And really, you look at what he's done throughout his career, his different seasons. 2015, already talked about rookie year, was great. 2016, huge sophomore slump, gets sent down to the minors during that season. Just was not a good year for him at all. Really, the only terrible year of his career, even this year, when you look at his final numbers after those great last couple of months, he ends up grading out as an above-average player, an above-average hitter, and everything else across the board. So not a great year this year, but not as bad as 2016. 2017, Conforto was an all-star. He was incredible. He ends up having that shoulder injury. That ends his season early, so he misses the last 50-some-odd games. Otherwise, who knows how good those final numbers would have looked. 2018, decent season, not great. 2019, the best full 162 of his career where he was healthy, he produced, he set career highs across the board, over 30 home runs, over 90 RBIs, was very solid. And I actually tweeted about this, that to me is the best representation of what Conforto can be. Because what we saw in 2017, where he had a 4.4 F-war, which over a full year, had he not gotten hurt, probably extrapolates out to being a 6-war player. I don't think that's Conforto. I don't think he's that good. I really don't. I think there might be a year where he puts it all together, but I don't think that's what he ultimately is. 2020, shortened year. He was a top 15 player based on WRC+. I think he came in tied with a bunch of guys at 11 that year with that WRC+. So a very great offensive season, but obviously a shortened campaign. 2019, he posted 7 outs above average in right field, a great defensive season. He was consistent. He was part of a winning team. I think if Michael Conforto was to sign a 5-year contract with the Mets tomorrow, I think he'd get 2 years like 2019. Healthy, solid production. You might get 1 year that he does a little bit more than that. You know, the 2017 type year. You never know. You might have one season where he really impresses. And then you'd probably have 2 seasons where he'd be a little bit of a disappointment like he was this year. Or maybe there were some injuries. Maybe he just did not put it all together. But when you talk about what a player is, you know, is he a good player? Is he a bad player? Michael Conforto, more often than not, is an above average player. He's an above average defensive right fielder at Citi Field, even if the metrics don't always indicate that. The eye test certainly does. He has a strong arm. He knows that outfield well. He plays that position well. And he's going to be a functional member of your lineup. So I'm not saying he is the best player. I'm not saying he's a guy that you sign. He's going to be an all-star the next 3 years. But he might be better than what's available. And that's what we're going to talk about in a bit. I want to go through the market, talk about some of the other free agents that are out there and why Conforto might just be still, despite the down year, a top three free agent outfielder in this market. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, there's now even more odds, props, and contests available at betonline.ag, which continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up by using the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, baseball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so if we look at the 2022 free agent outfielder class, there's not a lot here. There's really not. You're talking about Starling Marte and Nick Castellanos, maybe Kyle Schwarber as the top of this class. And Michael Conforto, when you talk about being a well-rounded player, outside of Starling Marte, few free agent outfielders I like more than Michael Conforto. You got Andrew McCutchen coming off a down year. Phillies hold a $15 million club option on him. There's a $3 million buyout. I'd imagine they'd exercise that. A guy who's dealt with injuries since signing that initial contract with the Phillies, so you got a chance to get out of it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. You have Ian Desmond, club option. He's pseudo-retired. I think he's doing good work for the Boys and Girls Club out in California, if I remember that story right, but hasn't played since 2019. Don't expect him back. He's just listed here as one of the top free agents. You got Charlie Blackmon, player option, which he should definitely exercise, over $20 million. He ain't getting that in free agency. You got Jackie Bradley Jr., a $9 million player option. I would imagine he exercises that. You got Avisaíl García. This might be the best free agent outfielder outside of Marte and right in that same conversation as Conforto. When you're talking about well-rounded, because he's fast. He's not a great defensive outfielder, but he's good enough. He's at least an outfielder as opposed to Nick Castellanos, who just plays out there. He has that option, $12 million. Probably declines it, had a good year. Imagine he's going to look for a long-term deal. You got Schwarber, $11.5 million mutual option, $3 million buyout. He had a really good year. I'd imagine he's going to try to test free agency. Falls right into the Castellanos class of all bat, no glove. You got players like Tommy Pham and Corey Dickerson and Eddie Rosario. Adam Duvall, I think I might have seen something that he's staying with the Braves, but regardless, he would be a free agent. Again, all guys that are imperfect players. You know, some are better offensively than others. Others are better defensively. None of them are clear-cut starting outfielders that are better than Conforto. So you come down to the list, and again, it's basically Schwarber or Castellanos, who are better bats than Conforto, but statistically among the worst defensive outfielders in baseball. I don't want to see that in right field. I mean, Schwarber's a left fielder. Castellanos, look, and another thing about Castellanos, I know there's a lot of people that like him. He's the sexy name. He hits the home runs, 100 RBI season. He is a player that feasted at Great American Ballpark in that bandbox. And I think he knows that. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back there or he tries to go to another ballpark like it. Nothing wrong with it. A guy that can hit the ball out of the yard, even in a small ballpark, is very valuable. But at the same time, I don't want him patrolling the outfield at Citi Field. And honestly, when you have Mark Vientos, I don't even see the point in that. Because I look at Vientos as, hey, you're going to pay Castellanos, what, $20-plus million to be a great hitter who can't field? Why don't you let a rookie get a shot at it, getting paid nothing, who could potentially hit at the same level as a Castellanos the way some people are high on his bat. So I just don't see any reason why you go bat first in the free agent market for an outfielder. It just doesn't make sense. If you're going to get Chris Bryant, all right, now we're talking. But that is a completely different conversation. That's where you're shopping in the premium side of the market. And I don't know if that's what we're talking about here. Really, it's Starling Marte and Garcia. For Garcia, he's like Conforto, doesn't get on base as much. This year he had a good season with the Brewers, but overall, I just don't see a big separator that makes me look at him and say, yeah, way better than Conforto. Starling Marte is really the only guy in this entire class that I look at and say, yeah, he can do what Conforto does defensively, and he does more offensively. I mean, he just had a great season starting with the Marlins, ending with Oakland, 47 stolen bases, 133 WRC plus, on base percentage of 381, play great defense in center field. That's a guy that I would go out and get. But what's it going to cost? And also, he turns 33 on Saturday. Is he going to want a 5-year deal? He really hasn't gotten that opportunity to get the big contract. So is he going to want 5 for 120? I don't know. He's going to try to cash in off that deal or that year he just had. So with all that said, all roads lead back to Conforto. When I look at this free agent class, there's just nothing else that excites me. I don't get excited about Castellanos, no matter how many RBIs he has. I don't love the idea of a 33-year-old Starling Marte on a long-term deal. There's just not a ton out there that makes me think, all right, the Mets should definitely go in and get that. I look at Jeff McNeil as a better option to start in right field than pretty much anybody in this free agent class, again, outside of Marte. So with all that said, Michael Conforto, I mean, let's talk about it. What's the problem with bringing him back? Because you get tired of players who don't perform because he's homegrown and it's taking some time. I've talked about it before. The Wilpon way was to give up on a player too soon. Zach Wheeler, Wilmer Flores, Travis d'Arnaud, Justin Turner, Daniel Murphy. That's just off the top of my head. There's a long list of players that they would have fatigue of their own homegrown guys. Haven't done enough for me lately. Bye-bye. And then they end up popping off elsewhere. Conforto, prime candidate to do that. I mean, everybody can see him next year ending up in Boston or something, and suddenly he's an all-star again, and the Mets are saying, what if? So depending on his market, I'm not saying, if you look out there, and if Michael Conforto is going to get 9 figures from somebody, and I can't imagine he would, but let's just play that scenario out. Let him walk, take the draft pick. But if he's not going to get even $50 million, and he circles the wagon and says, hey, I mean, can you give me 3 for 45 with an opt-out after one? You know, is that something you're willing to do? I take that. And you have the leverage in that situation to structure that contract whoever you want to. So that's what I'd be looking at here with Michael Conforto. I think that this was a player that went into a contract year and had a lot of pressure on his shoulders because of that. Was coming off that great little short in 2020, and maybe he got in his head a little bit. Maybe he was just one of the cogs in an entire lineup that was malfunctioning, and because of that, he also just could never get it going. But down the stretch, he found something. He found what he used to be in those last couple of months. And if you look at his numbers historically, he has generally been better than he's been bad. He just has been. He's just been a good player. And if you are to bring him back, whether he signs a qualifying offer or declines it and comes on through after testing the waters and decides the Mets are the best landing spot for him, I think the Mets are a better team in 2022 with Michael Conforto in right field than anything that presently exists on their roster or in free agency. Now, once we start talking trades, now we can maybe open up a dialogue about how to really fill that position. But again, with what's in-house, with what's out there in the market, Michael Conforto, still a really good option for the Mets. And I would hope that they'll explore that and they won't just go Wilpon player fatigue and say, cool, you declined it. We're taking our draft pick. Go sign that cheap deal with somebody else. Go sign that contract with the Braves. We don't care. And let's see what happens. Because those are the deals that come back to bite a team like the New York Mets. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by your pal Sully. Locked On MLB will give you all the breakdown you need for the MLB playoffs. Check that out wherever you get your podcasts.